Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 5, Text 20, looks like several, Text 23 and 24. And I will continue from where the purport left off yesterday. Yesterday, the last item of the nine forms of devotional service that were explained and discoursed on was padasevanam. And today I will be talking about archanam, worship. So I'll just go through the verse and then do the translation again. We can do the translation together. Shri Prahladu Vacha Shravanam Kirtanam Shravanam Kirtanam Vishno Smaranam Padasevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakyam Atma Nivedanam. Iti Pumsarpita Vishno Bhaktish Chenavalakshana Kriyeta Bhagavatyada Tanmanye Ditam Uttamam. Again, the translation. Prahlad Maharaj said, hearing and chanting about the transcendental holy name, form, qualities, paraphernalia, and pastimes of Lord Vishnu, remembering them, seeing them, serving the lotus, remembering them, serving the lotus feet remembering them, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, offering the Lord respectful worship with 16 types of paraphernalia, offering prayers to the Lord, becoming His servant, considering the Lord one's best friend, and surrendering everything unto Him, in other words, serving Him with the body, mind, and words. These nine processes are accepted as pure devotional service. One who has dedicated his life to the service of Krishna through these nine methods should be understood to be the most learned person, for he has acquired complete knowledge. Now we go now to the next item, which is archanam. After padasevanam comes the process of archanam, worship of the deity. If one is interested in the process of archanam, one must positively take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master and learn the process from him. There are many books for archana, especially Narada Pancharatra. In this age, the Pancharatra system is particularly recommended for archana deity worship. There are two systems of archana, the Bhagavat system and the Pancharatra system. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is no recommendation of Pancharatriki worship because in this Kali Yuga, even without deity worship, everything can be perfectly performed simply through hearing, chanting, remembering, and worship of the lotus feet of the Lord. Rupa Goswami writes, So this is in Sanskrit, and then it will be translated. Shri Vishnu Shravane Parikshid Abhavad Vaishyasakhi Kirtane Pralada Smarane Tad Angri Bhajane Lakshmi Pritu Pujane Akuras Tva Bivandane Kapipatir Dasye Ta Sakye Jana Sarvastavatma Nivedane Balir Abhut Krishnaptir Esham Param. Which means, quote, Parikshit Maharaj attained salvation simply by hearing, and Shukdev Goswami attained salvation simply by chanting. Prahlad Maharaj attained salvation by remembering the Lord. The goddess of fortune, Lakshmi Devi, attained perfection by worshipping the Lord's what? Yes, his lotus feet. Prithu Maharaj attained salvation by worshipping the deity of the Lord. Akura attained salvation by offering prayers. Hanuman by rendering service. Arjun by establishing friendship with the Lord. And Bali Maharaj by offering everything, his body, his mind, his words, to the service of the Lord. Unquote. All these great devotees serve the Lord according to a particular process. But every one of them attained salvation and became eligible to return home back to Godhead. This is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam. It is therefore recommended that initiated devotees follow the principles of Narada Pancharatra by worshipping the deity in the temple. Especially for householder devotees who are opulent in material possessions, the path of deity worship is strongly recommended. An opulent householder devotee who does not engage his hard-earned money in the service of the Lord is called a miser. One should not engage paid Brahmins to worship the deity. If one does not personally worship the deity, but engages paid servants instead, he is considered lazy. And his worship of the deity is called artificial. An opulent householder can collect luxurious paraphernalia for deity worship, and consequently, for householder devotees, the worship of the deity is compulsory. I'll read that again. And consequently, for householder devotees, the worship of the deity is compulsory. This means that it's not should be done, but must be done. That's what compulsory means. No choice if you want to advance in Krishna consciousness. And I will go into the details as to why. Not only householders, but actually brahmacharis, vanaprasthas, can also benefit by worshipping the deity. In our Krishna consciousness movement, there are brahmacharis, grahasthas, vanaprasthas, and sannyasis. But the deity worship in the temple should be performed especially by the householders. The brahmacharis can go with the sannyasis to preach, and the vanaprasthas should prepare themselves for the next status of renounced life, sannyas. Grahastha devotees, however, are generally engaged in material activities, and therefore if they do not take to deity worship, their falling down is positively assured. I'll read that again. And therefore, if they do not take to deity worship, their falling down is positively assured. This will be explained in a few moments. Deity worship means following the rules and regulations precisely. In other words, it does not leave room for whimsical thinking and activity. There's a procedure. The procedure has been established by the previous acharyas and ultimately by Krishna. That procedure should be followed because it represents the will of God, the will of the acharyas. It is the way to stay in tune with God and to be reconciled with God. And by doing that, we please the Lord. by doing something whimsically. By whimsically, I mean something, you make up something on the spot. You think, well, you know, maybe the Lord would like this, or maybe he'd prefer it this way. When you get to meet Krishna personally, then you can ask him, would you like it this way instead of this way? And then he can tell you. And if he would like it that way, you can do it. Unless and until such a time comes, do it his way. Okay. That will keep one steady in devotional service. Generally, householders have children. And then the wives of the householders should be engaged in caring for the children, just as women acting as teachers care for the children in a nursery school. Omagyana timirandasya gananjana shalakaya shakshur unmalitam yena tasmai shri guruve namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto his lotus feet. And I pray to the Supreme Lord and to all the devotees that I may receive their prayers and blessings, that I may say something that's useful and beneficial, not only for all of us here, but especially for myself, who needs this teaching and needs the blessings. Srila Prabhupada mentioned when he was here that this movement runs on two tracks, the Pancharatra track and the Bhagavatam track. It's like two wheels running together. Each is complementing the other. Each is aiding and abetting and assisting the other. The Pancharatriki vidhi, as has been just mentioned, is the worship of the deity with the various types of paraphernalia, the procedure, the timing. Everything has to be just so. The purpose of this is manyfold, but ultimately and ideally, it is to enable us to develop pure love of God through the process of purification that the Pancharatriki system gives. And then there is the Bhagavatam vidhi. That also helps, and that's actually what is being discussed in this particular two verses. The Bhagavatam vidhi is hearing about the Lord, chanting about the Lord, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, worshiping the Lord, offering prayers to the Lord, having a practical devotional service to the Lord, friendly association with Krishna, and ultimately to give up one's body, one's mind, and one's words to the Supreme Lord in total surrender, which is what Bali Maharaj did. So these two are very, very important. Let me focus a little bit more on the Pancharatriki aspects, because sometimes they're either neglected, or devotees may not pay too much attention to them, or if they do pay attention to them, they don't pay attention to the very meaning of them, in which case the full benefit that can be derived from them is not obtained. These articles of worship that which you see the pujari offering to the Supreme Lord, or you see the devotee offering to Srila Prabhupada, have not been just chosen whimsically. Each one of them have a significance. And to some degree, the devotee should understand what that significance is and should be conscious of that significance even while he is making that offering. Otherwise, it becomes a very hollow and shallow gesture, just some mechanical activity. But when it is done with thought and feeling, it becomes an offering of love and devotion. It becomes a means to communicate the heart of the devotee to the Supreme Lord and ultimately to all the assembled devotees who will get the benefit of that particular worship. For example, sorry. When we offer incense, the incense is offered for the pleasure of the Lord that he may smell this very lovely fragrance. We don't offer incense which has no fragrance. That's not done. We always have fragrance so that the Lord will be pleased with that fragrance. And when he smells the fragrance, he's in effect blessing the incense. He's blessing the whole incense stick. So whatever incense, smoke or fume is coming up, it becomes all blessed. And after the devotee worships the deity, he then offers to the devotees, and then it is put in the incense holder. But the smoke continues to, the fragrance continues to travel throughout the temple. And each and every one of us is gaining the sacred blessing that the Lord has just given it. So it's not merely fragrance. It's not merely smoke. It's a blessing. And the more we can become conscious of the fact that Krishna, out of his causeless mercy, has just given a blessing in the form of this incense. And then next we go to, the next thing is the flame. So we light the ghee flame, and then we offer the flame to the Supreme Lord. Now, what does the flame represent? Some devotees I know, after 30, 40 years, they still don't know. They just said, well, I just do it. Well, that's okay. You just do it. But what does it mean? Why are you doing it? So the flame represents the infinite consciousness of the Supreme Lord. He is all light. Nescience is darkness, and light is knowledge. So this light represents the light of the Supreme Lord. And we are in effect begging the Lord that he remove the darkness that surrounds our soul and which often manifests as lust and anger and greed and envy and illusion and madness and pride and all those wonderful goody-goody things. So we want to get these things removed because they are preventing us from developing a heartfelt relationship with the Supreme Lord. We want our hearts touching his heart, so to speak. We want the flow of his love entering our heart without obstacle, without any boulders standing in front. And we want the flow of love of our hearts going into his heart. To do that, we have to be free of this darkness that surrounds and impacts the soul. So this light that we are offering, basically we are offering it in the hope and in the desire to have that darkness removed. We give pleasure to the Lord in recognizing that he is the supreme light. Of course, he's a person too, but it's mentioned very clearly in the Bhagavad Gita that Lord Krishna says, I am the source of the Brahma Jyoti. So we are recognizing and acknowledging that he is the source of that. And that's emanating from his body, being transmitted all over all universes. So that light which comes out is blessed light. So when the person who receives the ghee holder with the ghee in it lighted, and he takes it around to each and every one of us, Krishna, in effect, is offering to us a blessing. He's saying, may the darkness of your soul or around your soul, may it be removed. Particle by particle. We have a lot of darkness there. Every time we engage in some mayic activity, darkness is increased. Every time we engage in a devotional activity, the light is increased. We draw closer to Krishna. And when we engage in illusory activities, we draw away from Krishna. So it has often been said, you cannot ride on two boats at the same time, although sometimes for some people it's very difficult not to. But the ultimate goal, the ultimate ideal, is that we should finally come to the point of only and strictly remembering Krishna as often as possible, and ideally, all the time. Krishna says, engage your mind always in thinking of me. Become my devotee. Offer obeisances unto me. thus completely absorbed in me, surely you will come to me. He's making a promise. But he's saying that we must be always engaged in his service. We must always be thinking of him. That's not easy. It's difficult. But it is our challenge. How important is it for us to gain that closeness, that presence, that togetherness in loving affection with Krishna? How much is it important for us to give more and more pleasure to Krishna through the purity of our offering? How important is it us? We have to ask ourselves this very compelling question. And if we don't ask for it, then we just continue doing our service in a rote fashion, in a mechanical, robotic fashion, in different, I got it done. Okay, well, you got it done, you get some benefit. Everybody does, no question. These are devotional activities. But to do it without heart, to do it without mind, to do it merely like a robot, well, you can set up a robot and let him do the puja. Maybe he'll become a human being in his next robotic life. Anyway, the important thing is that to involve the heart and the mind at the same time. So the light means getting rid of the darkness. And then we offer this water. The water symbolizes purification. You have some filth on your hands, well, you wash it with water. But this water that Krishna is blessing when we're offering goes beyond just the physical body cleanliness. It's going to the cleanliness of the senses, the mind, and the intelligence, and ultimately the soul. So it is cleansing. So when the pujari is offering it, and then he gives it to the person who takes it around, and he puts some water on your head, he's put a blessing on your head. How many of us are actually thinking in a very grateful way, thank you, Krishna, for giving me this wonderful blessing? I know I don't. I just take it for granted. I deserve it. I'm important. I'm valuable. Why should I even concern myself about it? This is small-time service. How many of us think like that? It's not small-time service. Krishna has delivered a blessing to cleanse your heart, to cleanse your mind, to cleanse your thoughts, and to be able to be more receptive to his inner message to you. To purify the heart, the mind, the soul. This is Krishna's way of blessing us. If we don't give thanks to us, then why should the blessing even take place? He doesn't have to allow it to go through. For example, a pujari who is doing deity service, who is not doing it with any devotion, with any love, with any feeling, why should Krishna bless the items? Krishna says, whatever you offer in love and devotion, a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water, I will accept it. But he doesn't say, whatever you offer without devotion, a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water, I will accept it. He doesn't say that. He says, you do it with love and devotion, I will accept it. And the more love and devotion there is, and the more sense of surrender there is, the more he's going to relish it. This is so important. That if Krishna relishes your offering, you can rest assured, guaranteed, that you will eke a very great blessing. Because as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, as they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. To the degree that we are surrendering, that we are giving, that we are offering, that we are hoping that Krishna will be pleased by this offering, Krishna sees that. He knows that. And he sees our unassuming, modest, humble attitude that we don't feel that we are so glorious and great and wonderful and superior that my offering will definitely please Krishna. We're not to have that attitude. And when we don't have such an attitude, but we have an attitude of hope, that because I am so impure, I am so fallen, I am so wretched, I am so worthless, hopefully, maybe you will accept this offering And in so accepting it, you will give me the one benediction that I desire, and that is more devotional service. And beyond that, more devotional service, which is purer, which is sweeter, which is more loving than what I am giving today. That's the only benefit I want. I don't care if you give me a new car. I'm not interested in buying an airplane. I don't care to have another house, a house in the country, a house in the city, and a house in the village, and a house. I don't care for any of those things because those things are here today and gone tomorrow. What I do care for is that my service continue forever to you and that I never fall down and that I never displease you. That's what I care about. And that's my only desire. Now, a person who has this mentality and this feeling towards the deity when he is worshiping the deity gets a lot of blessing. And those items which he's offered, which, as I said, is the flower, is the flame, whether it's the whisk to fan Krishna, all these items are eking or bringing blessings to the devotee who is offering them. And when they are then distributed throughout the assembly or the temple, the devotees receive the blessings accordingly. A devotee who worships the Lord with great affection, great devotion, really concerned about wanting to please Krishna, well then that offering, that light, that water that has been sprinkled on your head is super abundant in blessing and in benediction. So we cannot take it for granted. We cannot just be indifferent. We cannot just take it as some water being poured on your head. It's not that. It's holy water. Even the Christians, when they go into the church, there's holy water which has been blessed by the priest. So they touch the water and they make the cross. Why? Because they want to be in a receptive mood to not only sing the hymns, but also to hear the sermon in a way that they will understand it. Holy water is beneficial. What is it? It has its transcendence in it. When the water is transcendental, it again, when we, for example, you take the flame, you put your hand here, put it here, the idea is that the darkness will disappear. You take the water, the lust and anger and greed and envy and all of these things will be washed out of the system. That's the idea behind it. So if we're getting a blessing, the least we can do is just say, this person puts a flower under your nose instead of just going, and that's it. Like he could have been putting just a piece of paper under your nose. It wouldn't have made any difference because you would have reacted the same way. I don't mean you, but this is my own. I'm talking my own personal experiences, by the way. And I've been thinking, sometimes I'm reading Prabhupada's books, and he's mentioning, are you really feeling and thinking about what you're doing and what you're receiving? Or are you just taking it for granted because you think you're so wonderful, so great, so glorious, so honorable? So then I'm thinking, no, I'm fallen, I'm wretched, I'm worthless, I'm good for nothing. Then if you are, then say, thank you, Lord, thank you so much for this blessing. And what will happen? The result is that you will get more and more and more and more. Krishna is very, very abundant in his blessings to those who appreciate them. To those who take them for granted, who really don't care about them, who are indifferent to them, he's not going to give very much. In fact, he may even begin to take away, withdraw some of the blessings that he has given to you. And when he does that, you know what you feel like? There's no joy. There's no peace. There's no strength. There's no love. It's blah, blah, blah. That's the mood. That's the feeling. Emptiness, shallowness, just good for nothingness. Who wants to have that consciousness? But we bring it on ourselves by our not being very thoughtful and careful in our dealings with the devotees and with the Supreme Lord Krishna. So that's the main idea. When someone gives a blessing, whether it comes in the form of water, it comes in the flame, it comes in the flower, it comes in such nice words. From the heart, we say, thank you very much. I could really use it. I need it. And when you feel you need it, then you thank. If you don't feel you need it, no need to thank. If you feel you're worthy of it, no need to thank. But who is worthy of it? Who doesn't need it? We all need it. Every one of us need it. And therefore, we should be very grateful that we can even sit in this temple. There are places in the world that there's no such thing as a temple there. There are places in the world where if you worship Krishna, you get shot. Yeah, I just read this recently. This girl, I forgot where it was. Was it in Afghanistan or anyway? What happened is that she was pleading for education for women, that women should be educated. So this Taliban, he came and he just shot her in the head, because they don't feel that women should have any education. That's their idea. So. Don't reason, don't try to understand, don't talk, just shoot. So we are here today. This is the greatest of blessing which our Srila Prabhupada has so mercifully bestowed upon us. It is really a tremendous... He didn't have to do this. He certainly didn't need it for himself, because he could go into a tiny room and worship Krishna and feel just as comfortable and happy. But his happiness was the same kind of happiness that Krishna has. What is that happiness? That transcendental happiness does not stay contained and limited and restricted to itself. It spreads itself all over the world. So Srila Prabhupada is the perfect symbol or the perfect representative of Krishna. Because just as Krishna spreads his light all over the world, to the good, the bad, the evil, the blessed, Srila Prabhupada spread this knowledge all over the world so that more and more people could be free of the miseries, the uncertainties, the doubts, and the hatreds that they have. One who is in transcendental consciousness does not have any hatred. He feels love for everyone. He hates the sins of people because they go against Krishna's instructions. But he loves everyone just as Krishna loves everyone. Everyone is loved because they're all his children. And every devotee who feels a connection, a relationship with Krishna, cannot help but love every other being and try to mercifully benedict them with this knowledge. And that's why Prabhupada was so insistent and firm upon this book distribution. So that multitudes of people would get them, and even if a small percentage of them read them, that would be a greater, that would make that person so much greater and make the world so much better. If you have even one pure devotee in the world, super pure, that makes a very great difference. That's why we're here today, because of this one great pure devotee who enabled us to come to Krishna consciousness, who sacrificed so much and never even demanded that we pay him homage for the sacrifice. He never concerned himself with the sacrifice because he felt that that's what he should do. That's what a great soul does. He doesn't want to be recognized or honored or applauded or bowed down to. He doesn't care about any of those things. He just wants everyone to be Krishna conscious. Srila Prabhupada said a pure devotee realizes that he's a pure devotee realizes that he's an eternal servant of Krishna. He loses interest in everything except serving Krishna. He's always thinking of Krishna. He's always trying to figure out new ways to spread the holy name. He understands that his only business is to spread the Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. Such a person should be considered an uttama, or recognized as an uttama adhikari, and the advanced uttama adhikari should be accepted as a spiritual master. Uttama means highest, and adhikari, it means authority. So the ultimate authority is the pure devotee. And every one of us should be trying with all our heart to cultivate the desire, if we don't already have it, to become pure devotees. This should be our desire, because we can do so much more for so many more people if we are pure. If we are pure, we will speak better. We will touch and move the hearts and stimulate hearts in a different way, in a way that Srila Prabhupada did. Why not desire that? But of course, we also have to deserve that. Prabhupada always mentioned that. Yes, you can desire to see God, to be with God, to know God, to love God, but deserve. The deserving comes through the service, the action, and the feeling that you're really doing nothing, that Krishna, by His mercy, is working through you and doing it all. So why should I take the credit? I'm just the instrument, the willing instrument. And I couldn't even be willing if it wasn't for Krishna's grace. I could be laid out in a hospital bed. Where's my service then? Except just chanting the holy name. If I can even do that. I'm feeling this pain or that pain. But I have my hands, I have my legs, I have my mind, I have my intelligence, I have my body. I can go out and I can preach Krishna consciousness. Or I can sing the holy name and let people hear it and be liberated as a result of hearing it. There's so much opportunity. And the more we appreciate this blessing that Srila Prabhupada so kindly and so graciously gave to us, the more we will gain that purity that he had. And the more we will be able to affect, or as he sometimes would use the term, infect, more and more people so that those people can... Let me give you a good example. Lord Chaitanya, when he traveled to South India, and he was chanting the holy name, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Ram, Ram 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 Hare. He released a very, very incredible potency. That potency was such that when anyone heard him chant the holy name, they had to chant it. They couldn't help it. They were compelled. So another person, he chanted the holy name, and then he would tell it to his friend. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. And they were feeling ecstasy, feeling happy, feeling fulfilled, feeling peaceful, jumping, dancing. And then he would tell him, and then she would tell her, jumping, dancing, clapping. Thousands of people were being affected by this potency, which comes from the pure person, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we should pray to have that potency, so that everybody, the whole world, can become transformed and become truly Krishna conscious. And he can give it to us if we are worthy of it. If we don't start thinking, wow, just see my opulence, just see my power, just see what I'm doing. I'm making all these people devotees. How glorious, how great, how wonderful. No. We can't have that mentality. It's like Krishna is so amazing, so wonderful, so incredible. He's doing all this, and he's using this fallen wretch to do it with. Why? Why me? Why me? I don't deserve this great benediction. And yet, such is the grace, the mercy, the love, the kindness of the Lord. As we know, Lord Chaitanya gave it out to everyone, rich or poor, religious, non-religious. No one was discriminated against. Everyone received it just as the rain falls on the criminals as well as the good guys. So we have such a great debt to repay. Let us all think about this debt. Let us all be thankful for all that we have received. Let us all not only be thankful but give thanks in the form of word. Let those words come floating upon the love that flows out of our heart. Let them go to Krishna. Let them go to the devotees. Let them especially go to Srila Prabhupada. Let them go to the former or previous acharyas. Let them go everywhere so that we can receive that blessing of purity of heart and become more effective to make more and more people happy. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions or any comments? Anything? Yes, Prabhuji. Someone has the microphone. Pardon? Is not working? Okay, well, you come closer, so I'll hear your question, and then I will repeat it for those who are listening on the internet. Yeah, come closer. Yeah. We're friends. Right. Well, that's a nice question. To what degree should householders be engaged in deity worship? Was that the question? Did I get it right? Yes, especially devotees who cannot come into the temple. But I want to talk about just something else. Why did Prabhupada make that statement, that especially for householders? Because householders tend to become very attached in their dealings in household life. They become attached to each other, husband and wife, to the children, to the home itself, to the articles in the home. I mean, there are literally thousands of things that you can become attached to in household life. The purpose of this deity worship is to reduce those attachments slowly but surely over a period of time, so that ultimately one has no attachment for any of those things, but has supreme attachment to the Lord through this deity worship. Now, to what extent? Well, it's mentioned right here. If you could, Savas was kind enough to give me a small deity of Ugranasinghe from Mayapur. It was carved from a tree that Lord Chaitanya leaned against. And I had never done deity worship, and being a brahmachari, I just concentrate on the holy name, like Prabhupada says here. So I asked him, what should I do? How do I worship? He says, you just take an incense stick, and you worship him just with the incense. Okay, so that's a start. You start with incense. Start with one item. Okay? If you start to feel some happiness, some joy, some felicity, then you can go to another item. I do more than one item now, as a result of just the... we have some beautiful flowers, what do they call them? Climeria flowers, just outside my door. So I pick them and I offer them to Krishna. We also have those Nagchampa flowers, which are they'll blow your mind just when you just smell them. They are so incredible. So I offer those to Krishna. So anytime I get something nice, some nice food stuff, I offer that. So it all started with an incense stick. So you start with that. If that's all you can go, Krishna will accept that. Ideally, if you do it with your heart, he will bless you so that you will desire to do more. And when that desire to do more comes into our hearts, what will happen is that you'll start with flowers. And then after flowers, you maybe offer make some candy for him. You know, so many things can be offered. But the important thing is start with one thing at least. And that's what I started with. And then you can pray also. That's a form of worship, offering prayers. If you don't know prayers, you can read them right out of the Bhagavatam. We have so many wonderful prayers, Shikshastika prayers, the Guruvastika prayers, so many of them. If you don't understand the Sanskrit, you read it in English. There's so much opportunity. Don't think that, you know, I'm going to die in 50 years. You may die tomorrow, tonight. Don't waste the opportunity. It's this stupid consciousness, dumb consciousness that, no, not me. That's for everybody else. They die, but not me. You know. Until you get my age, then you know for sure you're going to die. You've seen so many close people, relatives, friends, devotees. I mean, it goes into the hundreds. I know I'm going, and therefore I'm taking every opportunity I can and begging for more strength and more determination to serve Krishna better. So that's the start. That's the standard. If you can do more, then do more. If you can come to the temple, ask Rabindranath to engage you. If not, at least one arti. If you can't do one arti, okay, then do in your home. But get Krishna conscious. Don't just think that this is for just the people who live in the temple. It's for everybody, especially those who are living outside the temple. It's for purification. How wonderful it is to get up close to the Lord. We all should be fighting. No, I want to do the worship. No, I want to do it. Because after all, you're so close to Krishna. Anyway, it's gone long enough. I thank you so much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.